This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we are live at the Shell Shack here on Henderson. And the expressway is coming up in 20 minutes. We're 20 minutes from the expressway. Thanks again to Craig Gass for joining us.
He is hilarious.
He's up there at TK's in Addison for four nights starting tomorrow. Okay. What do we got right here? In addition to the finest, here's your host, Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was wonderful, dude. My goodness. The impressions on that, dude. And off the air, he's just getting into a budget. That was amazing, man. A well-needed laugh right there. We're going to have to get over there. He's here for the next 4 days. That's exciting. Football's finest. I was not aware of this, but this is a little bit of a bummer situation. Broadus, were you aware of the Adonai Mitchell diabetes situation? Is this something that, because it has now been brought to light,
yeah.
And he's a University of Texas Longhorn wide receiver, going to be a first-round pick. I know some people that describe sure. him, like, just from a player standpoint, as a guy that is, you know, closer to the top two or three wide receivers in the draft as opposed to the, you know, sixth or seventh best wide receiver, even though he falls in that probably number four or five area for a lot of these guys. But he's going to be a first-round pick, and now you get all sorts of different insider information the closer and closer you get. And Bob McGinn is known for this dude just gets inside, huh? Whoa. Bob McGinn, he's got – what are you woeing over there on Bob? Is he butt-cracking us or
– No. Bob McGinn and I hate each other.
Oh.
Bob was at the Milwaukee paper.
Oh, it's that Bob.
Bob McGinn. And when I was working for the Packers, we used to have a thing with the Wunderlich scores. You remember the numbers?
Yeah.
We've had the
yes,
test.
He's the guy that always breaks the Wunderlich scores.
Yeah, he always.
And he's broken the S2s.
He's one of those guys. And I remember getting into a discussion with him. I'm like, listen, Bob, you don't understand. You post these scores, and we draft these kids, and then our fan base thinks they're idiots because their Wunderlich score is low. What you don't understand is a lot of this Wunderlich is based on reading comprehension. And sometimes you have guys that are dyslexic or you have reading disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean they're a dumb player, they can't learn and all that.
Yeah.
But immediately every year I go, you've got to stop posting these numbers. I go, this is not fair to the kids. Oh, yeah, it's fair. Everybody should know. We should all know. I mean, he goes on and on and on. So every year that I was in football, I tried to discredit him because of what he was trying to do to against these kids, you know.
And nice
Brett Favre had a low Wunderlich score. So did Dan Marino, if you want to really dive into things.
Yeah.
You know, what would we have done without Brett Favre? I'm sure Bob, oh, yeah, well, he had a 13 Wunderlich score. Ha, 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 he's a quarterback. It's low. And, you know, that's crap. And so Bob and I would go round and round about this. And it's not surprising me that he's pulling some information about some kid's medical, you know, that teams know about.
Yeah, type 1 diabetic apparently.
Yeah.
So Adonai Mitchell is now.
You can play with that.
A
number of athletes have done it. A little bit more of a challenge.
It is a challenge.
Yeah.
Definitely, because they describe, you know, when you're not on your P's and Q's with something like that, the blood sugar drops, and now you're kind of a different person a little bit. You know, you're angry. Like it's basically just walking around with anger, which is, I mean, that is, I would say, probably the worst version of myself is peak anger.
Yeah.
You don't want, I'm not fun to be around. So I would, that's an extremely challenging situation to fight through. But we have seen, I think Mark Andrews, tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, is a guy who he's like checking his blood levels during
game. They do it during the game.
Like,
yeah.
Every time he comes off the field. So, I mean, there's protocols for something like this.
One of my old classmates at WTY was a professional golfer named Scott Verplank, who plays now on the seniors tour. Scott was on the PGA for a long time, and Scott had a diabetes problem as well. But he wears a monitor that on the back of his belt that, you know, that he can kind of take care of himself. I remember one time we were at the New Orleans, at the Open there, and he came over to the ropes, and I'm standing against Brian, I need a Coke. Please get me a Coke right now. You know, I mean, his blood sugar had gone down, and he goes, and he stood there and waited for me. I ran over to the concessionary and grabbed a Coke and brought it to him while he drank it to kind of get himself. But in like mid-round, you know, he, and this is before they've had the technology that they have now to be able to monitor all that stuff.
Crazy.
But, yeah, it's we're learning a lot about these kids and some of the medical stuff that they're dealing with right now.
So you did say Brett Favre and rules are rules. Does anybody want to take – because we are being we're incited. I'll fill his shoes here.
Go for it.
I just don't want to botch it. I want to pay respects to
it. You can do it. You can do it, Keith Jackson.
Mama gave me 8 of them flapjacks. I said, Mama, take away 5 of them flapjacks. I want to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide. Right. I think
Keith Jackson, along with Bob Greasy here from the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. It's the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame versus the USC Trojans. Afternoon football from a historic web, one of the best places you could ever watch a college football game ever being played. Keith Jackson was from my era.
Bravo, dude.
He's from my era.
Did Craig Glass just inspire you?
A little bit.
That was incredible.
But no, Keith Jackson, he's like, you know. It's one of those games you pull up the cooler, prop up your feet, and say, oh, by golly.
I love those games, dude.
Yeah, that's what.
Those are my favorite
beer
drinking games.
It's a slobber knocker between the Crimson Tide and the Florida Gators. Some of the hardest hitting you'll ever see from the Crimson Tide players. Yeah.
I mean, and it's not that long ago that, you know, he faded from the scene. He was really just like an iconic announcer on the level of, like, the greatest of all time. And he was covering Pac-10 games for like the last 20 years of his career. So I heard him like every weekend.
I believe his last game was the USC-Texas game in the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
Really?
It was.
That was his last one.
What an epic way to
him
go
and,
out.
I think him and Dan Fouts did that one together.
Yeah. And then they tried Dan Fouts as an actual play-by-play guy, and it was a disaster.
Oh my gosh, because I grew up with him as a color guy on like the worst
NBC
game at CBS.
Was it CBS?
Worst CBS game of the week. Yeah. From and it was just like I can't stand listening to Dan Fouts. He was one of the first ones that I was like, okay. And then like Phil Simms took over as being the guy that nobody could stand. The Bill Belichick story today. Don Van Natta.
What do we got?
Oh my goodness, man! They did the. They did the breakdown why Belichick is not coaching for the Atlanta Falcons.
Tell me.
And really for a couple of these teams. And yeah, and brought us a lot of this. You were absolutely in on this. The only thing that I was not aware of was Robert Kraft, Patriots owner, doing a little bit of backdoor smear campaigning. Mm. And I guess we should have assumed it. And with the owners and some of their relationships, you just don't know exactly who's buddy-buddy. But apparently, Falcons owner Arthur Blank and Patriots owner Robert Kraft are pretty good bros. So when Arthur Blank, he's interviewing, he's flying them out or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's putting them on the yacht. They're in wherever the heck they are in the middle of the ocean somewhere doing these interviews, Arthur Blank and Bill Belichick. And Belichick, after the second one, thinks he's got the job. And after the first one, Arthur Blank thought he had the job too. Yep. Next thing you know, he starts talking to Robert Kraft, and you get quotes like this. I simply told Arthur Blank, this is Robert Kraft, I simply told Arthur Blank if he hired Bill Belichick, there would be no happy ending.
Wow.
How about Robert?
He knows about happy endings, right?
Ooh.
Bob Kraft.
Uh-huh.
That particular one might be a bit of a ball sacking there. But nonetheless, Robert Kraft he was definitely doing the smear campaigning of Bill Belichick.
One, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you guys would know the happy ending there was the kibosh on that. But nonetheless, you have the Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank being told by Robert Kraft a handful of different things about just not being able to trust him. And Kraft was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring Belichick. Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult and obstinate and kind of stubborn and, in the end, not somebody that you could trust. And also very, 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 three verys there, arrogant, which are, you know, things that we know when you think you can just throw Fat Patricia and Joe Judge at an offense, got two guys who've never called plays for an offense before, and you think them and Mac Jones can go get something done, or you can bench Malcolm Butler because he bothered you, and then you're going to let Alshon Jeffery just score touchdowns on you all night so the Eagles get to win a Super Bowl and Nick Foles gets to have a statue, which still doesn't make any sense. So we know about the arrogance there, but I think that the main takeaway in general is Robert Kraft going on the offense there and behind closed doors saying, hey, this is not a guy you want. And if it wasn't for that, I think
you'd have Bill Belichick being the head coach of the Falcons. But also the Commanders, you know, their owner,
yeah.
Josh Harris, their new guy. He talked to Robert Kraft, and he was getting the same thing. Now, this is not a guy you're going to want to hire. Okay. So then all of a sudden, Bill Belichick is out of a gig. The Philadelphia Eagles were, you know, reportedly, you know, somewhat interested. They talked to him, but never really specifically about their job. But we know that Bill Belichick would probably be interested in taking over there if a job ever came open with Sirianni. And how about this line here? In the coming weeks, Belichick is expected to sign a deal to do the Manning cast with Monday Night Football and do some different Omaha Productions things. And he's biding his time waiting for next January for openings. And the ones that he would be interested in, the Cowboys,
yep.
the Eagles, and the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
A source who spoke with a longtime friend of Belichick said the friend wonders if the coach will have another opportunity. The quote is, "I don't think Bill Belichick will ever be a head coach again in the National Football League," the friend said. Unless it's for Jerry Jones.
Holy cow.
I totally agree on that.
Okay, so let's pick that up on the other side here as we're getting our clock back in order. Thanks again to the comedian Craig Gass who joined us at the end of last hour. But I think that's a hell of a tease for a discussion we could have. We want to hear from you. The FrankelFirm.com text line is open. Please leave your name and city you're texting from. After hearing what Chief just laid out for you, what would your reaction be if Bill Belichick is the next head coach of the Cowboys? Plus what Steve said about Dak. And a look at the rest of the day's breaking sports news. That's coming up next in the Expressway. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. Welcome back, Nation. We are live at Shell Shack. It's National Crawfish Day. Brian and Chief are just punishing a bag. I believe that's a platter of a crawfish behind me as we broadcast live here off Henderson. Come join us and celebrate National Crawfish Day. This segment of the Nation is brought to you by Window Nation. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's hurt in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, $8 a pound, pretty good deal, Brian. Looks like they're pretty good.
No, they're excellent. They have really good range and size. They have the medium, which I feel like have a little bit more juice to them. The bigger they are, maybe a little bit the older they are. So there was a good balance between the medium-sized ones and then the large ones. So, and they're well-prepared. The seasoning is outstanding on them as well. Chief and I just polished off during the break a couple of pounds. Just going through them. But, yeah, it was now Chief just threw his glasses into the shell pot area, the debris area. So there's a lot going on over there with him, kind of something that Mardi Gras Brian would do. But, anyway, the food is the crawfish are excellent. They're seasoned well, and they're good size. So come on over and get you some of these.
Good to know indeed. It's also good to know the Rangers got a 5-4 dub this afternoon in Detroit, which gives them an opportunity to take 3 of 4 tomorrow afternoon. Tune in right here on your home of the Rangers, 105 through the Fan, 11:30 pregame, 12 o'clock first pitch. We'll be taking the air around, I don't know, 3:15, 3:30 once again. Josh Smith had the game-winning knock, though. Congrats to him. Salute to him for just getting the job done. He hasn't earned my trust yet, but he's getting close.
Yeah, I was Kennedy Landry, who covers the team for MLB.com. She tweeted out today, and she's one of my LSU buddies. Maybe we're all a little biased towards Josh, but she's like, he's earned this. Let him play every day. Hmm. You know, as long as Josh Great. Young is out, let him play every day. He's come up with some clutch hits the last two previous seasons. Maybe he's not been good enough, but he's kind of figured something out. He's come up with clutch hits. He's played well on defense. You know, she was saying, "Hey, let's see this guy play every day." And maybe Bruce Bochy will do that. Maybe we'll see him get more of a burn here.
It's not every year you essentially double your batting average. But he's done it, you know, from 180 to he's hitting 320 right now.
Yeah, he has.
And until he cools off, this team can find offense. And maybe he doesn't cool off. You know, they're talking about how great of a hard worker he is and how much everybody likes him. And, you know, I think maybe he just figured out what it's going to take to succeed at this level consistently.
Yeah, you'd love nothing more than to see Josh Smith continue this and be a guy that can be a consistent force for you all season long, particularly offensively. I think defensively you know what you're going to get from him, which is a guy who can play multiple spots in the infield, and he's consistent with the glove. That is a guarantee, and that's one of those things like, okay, at least I know that about a player. Like when you're boaching, you're putting stuff together, I know for sure I'm getting the defense, and right now things are trending in a great direction offensively, and so hopefully he can keep this going. We remember Ezekiel Duran last year.
That's
he
what
comes
I was
out
say.
So hot, and
that's
then he cools off. But hey, but that's also part of just getting to the championship. You know, you need moments. You need little seasons within the season where guys, like right now, Kirby Yates, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can Kirby Yates keep this going all season long?
I would love that.
Yeah. I would absolutely love that. But if he doesn't, you're putting different stretches together, and then all of a sudden, by the end of the season, you find yourself a hodgepodge situation of a bunch of dudes that can get it done for you.
Totally
pinch
agree
hit,
with that.
Game-winning RBI top of the ninth today for Josh.
Yeah, the thing with, like you say, Durant carried you through May when there were all the injuries with Seager that they were dealing with. And, that's all you need. You need Josh to kind of find a way to keep getting key hits, keep playing defense, just much like Durant did. I think that's an excellent parallel to what we saw last year.
But Kirby Yates might be the best reliever we've had around here for a while. To have this kind of a start, 7.5 innings or 7 1/3 innings, whatever he's done so far, it's exactly what you need. And now, I think you look at it like, okay, we gave Leclerc the first shot. Maybe he earned it considering what he was able to do last year. Spores got hurt. Now it's clear we got to be looking for other things. And I'm now super rock solid confident when Yates, that door comes up into the ninth inning. If he's going out there, he pitched through a really bizarre ninth inning. I don't know how much you were able to track with what you had going on this afternoon, but a dude from the security team thought the game was over after the first out in the bottom of the ninth. Next thing you know, he's on the warning track.
I'm listening and I'm hearing Hixie being like, oh, and like Hixie and Jared are both like, oh yeah, here comes the rain. And then like the lower deck, the lower bowl of people are, scramming to get some cover, and then this guy must have just not been paying attention. Yeah. He clearly wasn't following
Game's
the out
over.
Situation. He just sees everybody start hitting the doors, basically, and he's like, okay, I guess it's
showtime, baby.
Yeah, this is time for me to shine right now.
Yeah, he's like running out there like, yeah, here we go.
What an embarrassing brain fart moment, dude.
I know, dude. You go home and you're like, oh, my God, did that really happen? And you open up your social media and you're watching SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. He's going to be
hopefully on SportsCenter, not top 10 on Friday. Like, I'm banking on seeing that.
Absolutely.
If SportsCenter is worth their salt.
He might be getting a call from the Tigers, say, hey, Tom, this is management. Yeah.
We're sending
we need you to pee in
a
cup,
you're going to have to take a day off tomorrow. We're going to have to make a decision about your ability to not pay attention very well.
Yeah. Three outs per inning.
Go ahead
and lighter tomorrow, though. That should be fun. And, again, tune in for his debut, 12-10 tomorrow.
Any predictions?
Give me
a line.
I think he's going to go He's going to go three up, three down for six straight innings. He's going to be an absolute horse.
I like that better than what I was going to say. Let's go ahead and go with that.
I was going to go 4 2/3, three earned runs.
Seven walks.
There'll be chance of caballo at the end of the game. Seriously.
Four strikeouts, four walks.
Would you want Belichick was the topic as we left off and teased. I think an older version of football helped him. Now the game has evolved quite rapidly over the last 7 years. His scouting acumen was so dialed in, he could legitimately give his team a huge edge. That, along with Tom Brady, though, has brought him into this modern era of football with a crotch-first swagger that nobody's buying, is what that sounds like. And I would be, I think, quite concerned if he took over the Cowboys at this point.
Yeah, I think that the Cowboys would the thing that Bill wants to be involved with would be personnel, and that's now not his strength anymore. If you look at I compare him to what Tom Landry went through in the late 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Once, here's a Hall of Fame legendary coach who has personnel control, and then the team is not built the right way, and then you lose your 3-14 or 3-whatever, and you're not winning games, and that's what happened to Belichick. The drafts that he had weren't very good. His loyalty to some of his coaches, not the smartest thing. Tom Landry went through the same thing. Loyal to coaches, game passes him by. All of a sudden, now you're looking at a situation where, okay, we have to make a move here. And everybody's like, oh, how can you get rid of Belichick? Well, how can you get rid of Landry? Well, you get rid of those guys when they don't win enough games.
Kraft had been trying a long time.
Yeah. I think that, to me, that's where this whole thing is. With Belichick, like I say, I feel like that if you said, He have to stay out of personnel.
Yeah, could it work?
Yeah, but you also, I can't let you bring in all the crony coaches.
Yeah.
We have to try.
You're a head coach slash defensive boss, but we need an offensive dude in our scouting department
space.
Well, it's funny because part of the reason why they note in the article today on ESPN is the reason why he felt like things started to cave in on him in New England over the last couple of years is because his coaching staff was being picked apart. And so he didn't have his guys that he could lean on, like the Josh McDaniels of the world to call his offense, for instance. So it does feel like, if you like, it's package deal style for Bill. I mean, maybe he's willing to do some other things, but like, it sounds like part of the reason why he thinks they've sucked over the last few years in New England is because his coaching staff's been pulled apart a little bit.
Well, I think you could get it right offensively around Dak if you brought in the kind of offensive coach, and I don't know if Josh McDaniels is going to have this light bulb come on, but a guy that gives you an advantage in the run game, you know?
And, well, he had that in a guy named Dante Scarnecchia, who was his line coach for all through the Super Bowl runs. And then Dante decided, you know, hey, I'm an old man. I want to sit on the deck and kind of watch the sunset and all that. And when Dante left, they started kind of falling apart in the running game and the pass protection stuff like that. So, you know, if you're gonna try and convince somebody to come out of retirement to help you, I think Dante Scarnecchia wouldn't be a bad guy to have because
he was a wizard.
He was a wizard, and they've had some guys that have been some just legendary, you know, some coaches that were just outstanding. But, it just kind of fell apart. I just feel like the biggest problem they had was Bill's inability to identify their players, to identify the draft. You know, they were always in that point where, and not that, you know, you sit there and you go, I just know during the draft when I sit there, and I've been out of football drafting since 2005. So, but I know talking to people and kind of watching, I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I would have done that. I don't know if I would have done that. You know, but who am I to question a Hall of Fame coach? You know, but I questioned Bill Parcells and got fired.
Yeah.
You know, I questioned Bill Parcells and they said, no, you can get out of here now.
Yeah.
You know, and so that kind of made me think about, but Bill, there's things in drafting, and I'm not alone on that. I think there's a lot of people in the league that are like, the Patriots did not draft well enough. It'll be interesting to see what Elliott Wolf does with this current operation here next week.
But the story goes, Kraft did not get the gig in Atlanta. He was arrogant. He was unwilling to change. Robert Kraft called in and was like, dude, don't hire this guy. And now what's this guy Van Otta saying?
Yeah.
There's no way he coaches again in the NFL unless it's the Cowboys.
That was a close personal friend of Belichick's who was quoted in the article saying that.
Okay, thank you.
That was Jerry Jones telling Don Vannata that he doesn't coach for anybody else. But Jerry,
I mean,
I
don't get the impression that any of the Tolos want Belichick here. By the way, just
you're getting the impression they do want him.
They do not want him.
See, that's
they're paying attention.
But see, that's remember the rant that I went on the whole thing about they don't want change. It was directed at guys like him and Vrabel and others coming into this building that would be very strong with personnel ties.
I like this this dog that keeps getting walked up and down the street. He's like a wiener dog, but with the head of a full size lab.
Yeah,
you see that? I've seen him a couple of times now. Yeah. Okay,
it's a long body dog.
Yeah, long body dog. But like a full size lab head.
That's
a lab and wiener mix.
There's maybe something along like the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What Steve said about Dak and the frustrations of going into 24. He was asked what carries more weight, adding around Dak for another run or Prescott carrying even more of the load. He said, "I think anytime you have a great QB, that's part of what comes with accountability. And when you make that kind of money, he had a great year. He was number two in MVP voting." Had a great regular season, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We are now...
Is that the direct quote, by the way?
I would prefer, for the record, to never talk about Dak's regular season ever again.
I'm with you on that.
Okay, but that's a direct quote, because there's people on Twitter that are commenting at us that we're idiots because we're taking it out of context. What are we taking out of context? If that is direct quote, that's his direct quote, right?
Yeah.
What can you take out of context there?
We live in a ball sack and butt crack
I wonder what you're taking out of context. It sounds like to me that he is questioning that, like, listen, I pay this quarterback a lot of money. I need to win playoff games with him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. Am I hearing it wrong?
76ers host the Heat in 19 minutes. Bulls hosting Atlanta coming up at 8:30. We are in play-in mode now. Time the NBA playoffs are here, and it is time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has L.A. live.
Hey, baby, que pasó? No, was your uno vato.
Hey, when you look at that that lab and weenie dog situation,
yeah,
yep.
I always think, which one was the father? And how say, did that happen?
I hope it's the wiener dog, man.
I'm going to say the fact that the dog has the big head, that it was the it wasn't the weenie
dad.
Dog. Yeah, the dad. I've said the dad's not the weenie dog.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that lab had to get on low.
Yeah.
Had to get low, 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 low.
Either getting low or climbing the mountain.
It's a Butt Naked Wednesday here in L.A. Live, right into the great Rick James. I hear you brought us.
Yeah. All right, you squares.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance to some everything.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Everybody get high.
Hey, it's Malcolm Kelly.
Boys is getting quiet. Going to get crunk. Yeah. Head back to Longview, Kelly popping trunk. Yeah. I ain't even tripping. Yeah. Riding and I'm sipping. Yeah. Let me come through four-four steady tipping.
Yeah.
On that new lap.
Yeah.
Watch the trunk crack.
Yeah.
Let me sit sideways, CB running back.
Yeah.
Maybe AP.
Yeah.
Maybe AD.
Yeah.
I ain't even tripping because we some athletes.
Yeah.
Messing with Smitty
yeah.
in the summertime.
Yeah.
He get pissed if we don't make our time.
Yeah.
But we gonna get it because
yeah.
we gotta finish.
Yeah.
Nebraska Hornhusters, man, we diminish.
Yeah.
Put them bars little,
yeah.
paint like a Skittle.
Yeah.
I ain't even tripping, I ain't never double dribble. Cause
yeah.
I'm a player
yeah.
from the Himalaya.
Yeah.
Let me sit sideways, man. Maybe back door,
yeah.
maybe fall off.
Yeah.
Sipping codeine cause I gotta kill a cough.
Yeah.
Let me sit sideways in the big bins.
Yeah.
Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
Yeah.
Holla at Coach Sumlin,
yeah.
holla at the Stoops.
Yeah.
Let me sit sideways in the Tuto coupe.
Yeah.
Cause I'm sitting clean,
yeah.
foes on the lead.
Yeah.
Look at my pants, got a sag in my jeans.
Yeah.
Let me sit sideways, cause I'm steady coming.
Yeah.
PT throwing that ball and it's humming.
Yeah.
I'ma gon' catch it.
Yeah.
I'ma gon' wretch it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sitting sideways, boy, shoulder naked
yeah.
today.
It's Butt Naked Wednesdays.
Yes, yeah. LA Live for April 17th, 2024. It is a Butt Naked Wednesday here. Word to Miss Badu, I too was born underwater with $3 and 6 dimes. Yeah, you might laugh, cause you did not do your math. LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and no bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey begins today, y'all. Well, here's how I started it today. I knew you guys were going to be at the crab place.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So I asked a question to the Tolos. You can see my questions if you follow me on Facebook at Lucius Alexander. L-U-C-I-O-U-S. Yes, that's my name, yo. Here's the question for the Tolo, folks. Things that annoy you in public restaurants.
Oh,
yeah. Things that annoy you in public restaurants. I tried to sit down. I almost fell. But nobody would have seen that when you had a damn camera in here.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right. So things that annoy you in public restaurants.
Can I go
waiting
first?
For the check.
Go
oh,
ahead, Broadus. Please ahead, jump in.
I want to jump in this one.
Jump in there.
Watch your kids, please.
Oh, there we go.
Watch your kids. Don't let your kids run around all over the place while people are going out for a reason to eat. They don't want to watch your kids run around their tables.
That was number two, people that let their kids scream and act a fool.
Yeah, don't do that, please.
Austin, I heard you get ready to jump up in there and say something.
Oh, waiting for the check. You
yeah.
know?
Oh, you're ready,
I'm ready
to go.
When I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, somebody said that on the Tolo situation, too. Waiting for yeah. the check. Well, I want to be gone as soon as I'm finished eating. I want to be out of here.
You know, I think some servers look at it like I don't want to stress you out and rush you, you know, because some people really like to just chill out there for a while. So it's a tough read. That's why I like to let the server know early. I'll take the check as soon as you can get it to me.
Nice.
That's a veteran move right there.
Yeah.
Nice.
You just lead the witness a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
Get that
yeah. I'm not one of those that likes to wait too long.
How about the chatty waitress or waiter?
Yeah,
the very chatty.
The over the top.
The over always so. Asking you questions. And why do they always catch you mid when they're mid bite about how's your food? And you're like,
yeah,
it's good. Yeah,
they don't actually want to hear your answer.
They just want to make sure they told you that.
Yeah. You know, over friendly when they hand you the check as well. Like, they've been rushed and rude for like 45 minutes.
The old Hail Mary.
And then they're like, crap, that's right, the tip. Hey, hun, yeah. Was everything good?
Man. Yeah. It was so great to serve you guys.
Things that annoy you in public restaurants. I asked this to the Tolos that follow me on Facebook. I got, when the bathroom is out of soap, how are they washing their hands?
Yes.
Not tipping the waitstaff. Don't go outside publicly if you're not going to tip the waitstaff.
Yeah, I got it taped. Yeah.
Loud music at your restaurant.
I've had that.
When the server cleans my table with a dirty, stinky rag.
Oh, yeah, get that mildew in there.
Yeah, it smells like mop water on your table.
She picks it up from off the floor and then just.
Oh, let me get that for you.
Yeah, let me get that.
It's got bleach in it. It's fine.
For you. Things that annoy you in public restaurants, people talking loud like they're at home.
Oh, yeah. I was at one today. A guy was on his phone, like, really loud.
Was he on?
It's crazy.
What is that? Was he on FaceTime or?
Speakerphone.
Speakerphone or something like
Hola.
That.
Hola. Hello, yeah. Niños.
Everything's going good, man. I can't wait to see you. I'm like, all right, dude.
Things that annoy you at public restaurants, when you have to scan to get the menu.
Yeah.
I do miss just a good old-fashioned. That's the beauty of a place like Shell Shack, you know, Lucius. You get that good old-fashioned menu in your hand. You open that thing up, and you get to actually select while looking at the entire menu, the vast menu that Shell Shack has to offer. I can just open it up right in front of me. I don't got to worry about Wi-Fi issues.
Hey, what's that bartender not looking like over there, Shell Shack?
Amazing. It's smoke shows all over the place.
It's not a dude?
Nope.
That kind of looks like Hollywood from the movie Mannequin? Not the gift card, honey. Things that annoy you at public restaurants? Sticky tables.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lipstick on the rim of my cup?
Ooh. Yes. Got to get that washing machine.
I do think it is funny when people are like, man, I got to have the straw because I can't put my mouth on that cup. Because God forbid, as they're putting their fork into the macaroni and cheese and putting their fork in their mouth, I'm like, okay, are you going to just eat? You might as well eat with your hands.
I don't know, man.
Oh, no.
You sit down and eat, man. Oh, no. Things that annoy you on public restaurants.
In the comfort of my own home, Lucius. Just a little tagline there. Yeah. The entire restaurant just heard you.
We
thank
really
you.
Trust you.
The hand dryer in the bathroom rather than paper towels.
Bro, do not go into the rabbit hole of science behind the air blower thing.
Yeah, it's poo air.
It's poo air.
It's poo air?
Yeah, it's poo air, bro.
Cat's out of the bag. Spoiler alert.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Really?
Broadus loves those things.
I think those things go too long, by the way. The dryer thing, too long. Need to be like too quick.
I've seen Broadus try to get some sweat beads off his forehead, and he just put his face under that.
I know, but I hate the sound.
You can walk
away,
bro.
I know it could continue.
You feel obligated to stay there.
I do.
Until
I feel obligated
blowing.
To stand until the end.
I'm a gentleman.
I'm like, okay, it's electricity. It's electricity.
I wait till you're done.
Yeah,
and then I'm done.
Things that annoy you in public restaurants: maskless employees talking over my food. I don't like that either. I see that a lot at this sandwich place I go to. They just be having a conversation with each other. I'm like, yo.
We learned all about those microbes. They're the new condiment on my sandwich now.
Yeah, how about that?
Salt, pepper, spit, please.
People watching videos on their phone with the volume up. I hate that at restaurants.
I'm a guy that eats out a lot by myself, but I make sure the volume's way down. All my cooking shows and stuff,
respect.
I make sure it's down.
Take some earbuds with you or something.
That's on the list. People that sit at the bar with headphones on. I respect those folks. I feel like they're watching a game and probably listening to the call or something like that, or maybe listen to a sports pod. I usually see it at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, you know,
I think those are gamblers.
You know,
it could be that too, brothers.
Feed your mind.
Gamblers. I think they're kind of sweating the games.
Introverts
don't want to miss.
Yeah. Well, they're watching some games. They're listening to others.
Yeah, they're
got
like
action
oh,
on
get,
all of them.
I need the Stars to score a goal here right now.
Yeah. You know?
Things that annoy you at public restaurants. People that sit at the bar with... Oh, I said that one already. Sorry.
Yeah. wait, with headphones on?
Yeah. That pisses me off. Oh,
when they don't have the game on. Okay, I like that
we
one.
We have to ask.
Yes. I hate when I walk into a sports bar and it's like the masked singer's on.
Yeah.
Or the voice. Yeah. Like, fam, what are we doing here?
Or it's always like Charmed or something because it was on TNT and then they just left it. Yes. You know, the night it was Thursday night TNT. Now we're watching Charmed in the middle of the afternoon. Yeah. What are we doing?
Fast and Furious 6 again.
Yeah.
Let's see. Things that annoy you in public restaurants. Guests that are rude to the wait staff. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
For sure.
Dogs. I love them, but don't bring them to the MFing restaurant.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have two dogs. One I wish I can get rid of. But I'm going to bring them to
found?
A... Yeah, it's the one I found. Yeah, okay. Boy, every day I know why the folks let it go.
No, stay, run. No, go, stay,
that
run.
Was no coincidence, Lucius. Gosh. Not an accident.
Yeah, but if it's a dog-friendly environment like... the patio friendly situations.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my dogs. Bring my dogs.
Yeah, good, nice patio.
Yep,
I like to see the dogs.
Out your
there,
dogs so. Have the same taste in tequila as you do?
That stray, she likes everything.
Wild one, that one.
She likes everything. She got into my stash one time and enjoyed
Whoops.
It.
Oh,
Whoops.
No. Happened to my dog, too.
Well, she didn't even wobble.
It was a long 8 hours.
It was a long 8 hours, dude.
This dog has ingested marijuana. Okay, thanks, Doc.
Rest in peace, Chip.
Chip.
He was a good dog.
Things that annoy you in public restaurants. Last one right here. Mariachi bands. Somebody says they don't like the mariachi bands.
Do you feel obligated to tip?
They're always like up and down in 90 seconds, though.
Yeah.
It's a tip factor.
I like them. Oh, it's a tip factor.
Yeah, you kind of feel uncomfortable. Do you tip them when they're playing?
I just think we all have such the out now of no cash. We live in a digital world. I couldn't be more sorry about
this. They give
it
a great effort.
I haven't
had
a dollar in my
hand. You're kind of looking down at the chip basket and all. You're not really paying attention. You know?
I would like to add one more, Lucius. I know you said last one, but I'd like to add Eagles fans.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see them. General,
yeah,
especially at bars.
I'm talking about Buffalo Wild Wings. I had to catch a Cowboys game one time, didn't have anywhere to stop, so I pulled over at Buffalo Wild Wings in Euless. It was a damn Steelers bar, bro.
Oh, wow!
Oh, from head to toe, man, from head to toe, Steelers bar. Before we get out of here, LA Live 105.3 The Fan. It is a Butt Naked Wednesday. Word to Miss Badu. When I say Clutch Mikey, does that ring any bells for you guys?
I want to be like Mike.
Clutch Mikey.
No. I'm thinking MJ. That's all I got.
That's cool. Right. That's cool. That's cool. That's cool.
Gave it the cereal.
That's cool. That's what I'm here for. His name is Tad Griffin. His name is Robert Paulson. He was a senior at Southeastern High School in South Charleston, Ohio. That was last year he was a senior. This was him at his final high school golf tournament. He's got the passion.
So this is Tad Griffin, and you are AKA
Clutch Mikey.
Clutch Mikey. So how did you get that nickname?
Because I'm clutch, never miss a putt under pressure.
Okay, so tell me about, was it putt on number 9?
Yep. I knew it was going in. I made a putt on 8, the same. I walked up the 9 fairway. I told all the people in my group, I'm going to make this putt. I'm going to hit them with the Are You Not Entertained? And I'm right there.
Yeah. Let's go.
Were they entertained?
I don't know. I'll let them tell
you. Clutch Mikey, I'm telling you. So you're also rocking some Waffle House. Tell us what your story is about the Waffle House.
You know, it's the greatest restaurant. If they're looking for any NIL deals, I'm there. Uh-huh. Basketball, so I got basketball and baseball left. So.
Okay, you're a senior, and you're at Southeastern. And obviously, then you said you play baseball and basketball. What's your favorite sport?
Well, I would use play roughly. I'm on the team. basketball is probably the most fun, but golf, I just get it to go out here and mess around. So, yeah.
What are your plans after high school as a senior?
You know, I'm going to try to get on the PGA Tour. If that doesn't work out, probably the NBA. But if that doesn't work out, I don't know, probably Clark State Community College.
Yeah.
If they're hiring, I just don't know. I don't know how much they pay. I'm looking for a little bit more than minimum wage, but I'm willing to work.
You're willing to work. You pop the chain. You show what you're kind of worth. Oh, yeah. So how did you prepare for today?
Well, I didn't really prepare, to be honest. I played a practice round, but I'm better when I just, you know, under pressure. That's why they call me Clutch Mikey. Just mess around and find out.
Let's go.
Yeah. So what did you find out today?
Found out that, you know, it could have been better, but I had fun, entertained the crowd. That's what I'm here for. You know, last ever match, but it's all right.
Okay, so this is it for you.
Yep.
It's the end of the road.
For golf.
Yeah. It's the end of the road for golf right here. Fun 4 years. Shout out Vince and the team.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm out. Clutch Mikey out.
Yeah! Why does he sound like a 45-year-old redneck, though?
Old Clutch Mikey, man.
Clutch Mikey. I think he shot like 90-something.
I don't know
what job for him in radio. Yeah,
that's a guy you want to be in the trench hole with,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Clutch Mikey sounds like the epic country western sidekick.
Yeah.
On your radio show there.
That's good. Oh, Clutch Mike, I don't know. I turned down the NFL. I turned down NBA, MLB, golf. Hell, I'll play anywhere. That's my guy, man. I try to do an update on Clutch Mikey series after these years. You know, it's been a few months.
Yeah, what
I don't see anything.
In?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, where's he at, man?
Where's he dominating?
That's a Waffle House.
Tad Griffin.
Yeah, that's your boy. All right, hold on. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, y'all. That's my time.
There he goes.
I'll see y'all tomorrow on a Thirsty Thursday.
Epic, dude.
Thirsty Thursday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies' night, Thirsty Thursday. Yes.
Let's go.
All right, I'm out.
Man, that was awesome, dude. Thank you so much. LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Back Nation as we broadcast live at Shell Shack. Dive into mouth-watering pounds of crawfish, just $8 a pound. We're here for another hour and 3 minutes, 2326 Henderson Avenue for National Crawfish Day. And we're back to go around the bases, ain't that right, Chief?
Yes, sir. A brand-new baseball tradition we can all get behind next year in the nation.